is our final investigation into the mystery schools tonight by looking at Scorpio. Also in the category, of course, of self-interest. And we could define Scorpio as having the courage to explore the edge of aliveness for its own sake. To explore the edge of aliveness. Well, but you can't really know the edge of aliveness until you go slightly past the edge and look back. So that's really different than an epicure who's always moderate. So this is the over the edge thing, you see.
Yeah, over the top.
The road of excess leads to the palace of wisdom. You can't know how much is enough until you know how much is too much. Scorpio wisdom. But let's go back. Let's go back also 5,000 or 6,000 years. But let's go back to matriarchal time. Let's go back to southern India. There was a force known as Shakti. And Shakti, in that understanding at that time, was the active force. The feminine as Shakti was the active force. This didn't mean men were wimps. But the men knew that the woman had the power. And a good Shiva could rise up to meet her.
Shiva.
This is not about marriage. It's not about a pair bond. It's about running the energy. And experiencing the greatest amount of life force a human being can experience. And I'm convinced it's this specific expression of the feminine that was one of the main reasons for the patriarchy to do what it did to women. Because they were really afraid of the power of the feminine. So this knowledge of Shakti needed to be suppressed. The last 2,000 years has not been a good era for Scorpio.
No.
Until just recently. It's astounding to me what a high percentage there is of women with Scorpio Moon that can easily resonate with all the stories of women being burned at the stake. Where the woman even began to show a little bit of her power and knowledge, it would be extremely dangerous. So here's one of the things that this is how shamanic astrology, I mean, I'm sure you've noticed that some of the ways we describe these things is different than mainstream sun signs. Scorpio is an example of one that's really quite a bit different. Because the mainstream understanding of Scorpio is more like secretive, denied, hidden, repressed. I have absolute certainty that's not really Scorpio. That is a survival strategy. Expressed, powerful, authentic Scorpio is quite actional, quite willing to go to the edge. It's not hidden, it's not repressed, or any of that. And of course, to the mainstream, this is dangerous. So therefore, any number of stories are told about how Scorpio is dangerous. For yourself or others. You know, so the archetype we use for Scorpio is sorcerer's witch, the feminine aspect. Well, I don't mean that in a pejorative sense. You know, we use the word witch to mean women's mysteries, death and rebirth, incorporation of the shadow, the power and strength of the underworld. And also, the sorcery part doesn't mean power over others. It basically means being able to experience life force for its own sake. Running the energy, connecting to that current.
Almost like in service to spirit for your own sake.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, if you have Scorpio, when Creator allocates those essences, Scorpio gets a lot of will, and it gets the capacity to experience the power circuit of the Kundalini energy of the universe. That's what they do. If this has been suppressed or repressed, then there's all kinds of problems that can happen. Like, how about cancer? A lot of it is this blocked, suppressed life force. And actually, the story of Wilhelm Reich, who basically was contrary to the Freudian view. He basically, Freud, in the book Civilization and Its Discontent, stated that civilization only exists because of this barrier, which is a very thin veneer, and on the other side is the jungle. So we need to build up the superego. Build up civilization to protect us from the jungle. Wilhelm Reich basically said the reason why the world is in the condition it's in is because there's no Scorpio training. The life force is not recognized. We don't get a training for it. The very repression of it is the cause of the trouble. Not that we're going to all be the jungle. Being negative to the jungle here, sorry. So my point of bringing this up is the fact that in the last 2,000 years, there's been a hell of a lot of judgments against Scorpio. It's almost like Saturn of the last 2,000 years has made a judgment that Scorpio is just simply bad. Must be hidden, must be kept down, not good. It needs to be domesticated. It needs to be disciplined. It needs to be forgotten about.
It's going to ruin our 7-year plan.
So a lot, this we talk a lot about Scorpio and shamanic astrology. And because why? Because it's shamanic. So if you look at the history of spiritual traditions on the planet, Scorpio usually is a heterodox, not orthodox path. So in India, it's not yoga, it's tantra. In the Western world, it's the left-hand path, not the right-hand path. And it's also associated with shamanism. It's one of the really most powerful paths of involution. Really experiencing everything that's possible to experience in the body, and in emotion, and feeling, for its own sake. Not to heal others, although certainly if a person can run a hell of a lot of Scorpio energy and they are a healer, they're a great healer. But the motive is not healing. The motive is experiencing the energy. It sounds selfish to some people. But that's why we put it in the category of self-interest. It's not selfish. Its job is to have those experiences. Every mystery school is riddled with its own shadow or its own minefields. There's a lot of shadow and minefields to Scorpio. It is, after all, the sign of the shadow anyway. I love the fact that in our group we have so many Scorpio risings. So it makes a hell of a lot of sense that you're attracted to these kind of circles. Because you are the ones that are here to dream and experience Tantra and shamanism into a new form. Scorpio rising, hands up.
Jupiter and Scorpio.
That's close. Mars and Scorpio.
Saturn and Scorpio. And Scorpio.
Right. Yes, Jupiter. So, the shadow, you know, like for example, when I say dreaming and experiencing shamanism and tantra in a new way, I'm going to give you an example. And this is, I want to give credit to something that I read in one of Carlos Castaneda's books. Yeah, in his last book he wrote before he died, it was called The Active Side of Infinity. And he tells a story in there where Don Juan is explaining to him the difference between sorcery. For those that don't know, he uses the word sorcery for certain academic reasons. He means shamanism, right? So he says, ancient shamanism, sorcery, worked a certain way. It's not that way now. In the past, a shaman had to watch their back, because the understanding then was, because your job was to maximize the allotment of life force that you can experience. And there was a belief that there was a scarcity. So if you were really good at running energy, there was somebody there to rip off what you had done. You know, so it truly was a survival of the fittest kind of thing. You know, so it was battles. You know, I have more life force, I'm going to take yours, I'm going to take yours. It's an approach to Scorpio. It's about running the most amount of energy. Well, Don Juan said, today, we now know there's an infinite amount of energy available in the universe. It is absolutely not necessary. It is still the responsibility of the shaman to maximize their allotment, but you don't have to rip anybody else off for it. Which, that's one example of how that we can imagine a revised or new version, you know, of Scorpio, where it's not you're afraid you're going to be, you know, manipulated or used. Another example of this would be if you see, like, let's say you have a performer, and it's a Scorpio type performer. You know what? The lead guitar player, the belly dancer. You know, I don't know. They're basically someone who's running a lot of energy. That's actually not Scorpio, it's Leo.
The fire eater, though.
And anyway, so one version of the Scorpio performer is that the audience is just excited, and so is the performer. At the end of the performance, the audience leaves drained. The performer's feeling pretty damn good. That is another version, which is the performer that induces this incredible aliveness in the audience. They're turned on too, and everybody feels that way after. They haven't been ripped off. They've induced this aliveness in everyone. They're feeding off the energy, but if everybody's feeding off everybody else's energy, you know, they're tapped into the current.
It's sustainable.
Yeah. Another example I might give would be, and I would always say this to people with Scorpio rising, and it has to do with the motives for why we do what we do. You know, so let's say if a person is a perfectionist, a person really is motivated to be the best they can be. You know, so they're disciplined, they really work hard, they do the absolute best they could do. If they have Scorpio rising, why are they doing that? Remember we talked about how Saturn, there's no payoff for it? You know, there's no reward for perfection. So if Scorpio rising, the answer is really simple. You're doing it because it's a turn on. You're turned on. So some people are turned on by perfection. Other people are simply turned on by the life force itself. So it's a motive for why we do what we do. It's not like Capricorn rising. The motive is, did the corn grow? Did the plan get accomplished? That's really different with Scorpio. It's like, do I really feel turned on by what I'm doing?
So if I have Saturn and Scorpio and my rising signs,
they can, yes. And now there's a way. Because Saturn really likes to keep Scorpio back. There's a way of transforming that into a positive version of discipline. You know, so for example, when I work with someone with a lot of Scorpio, and we see a lot of maybe Saturn there. Well, let's say a woman with Venus and Scorpio, or a man with Mars and Scorpio. One of the questions I'll ask that person is, can you remember a time in your life where you had an opportunity to be bad? Now, I do not mean criminal, but I mean where you... went into so-called dangerous territory, you know? You broke the rules, or just because you felt like you wanted to see what was happening there. If the person with Scorpio could say that, yes, they did that. And for some people, it's, they went through their phase of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, or whatever. You know? Well, what happens if they're in a phase of Scorpio 30 years later, or 15 years later? Then it's like, what is the next level of where you can find your turn on?
Responsible action.
Well, it's like you already at that point will know how much is too much in certain dimensions. But you still need to be on this quest for where the life force is. You know, so a lot of people are at that junction point today. Why? Because Saturn is moving through Scorpio. Where is the next level of the turn-on? If it's not four hits of acid, if it's not, 15 women rather than, that turns me on. That turned me on 15 years ago. But, you know, now, I'm past that. You know, been there, done that. What? No, I don't have the answer there. I mean, this is actually where the investigation is. It's not suppressing it. Maybe so. If it is really the feeling of it. So I want to bring something up here that can help illustrate where we've come so far. This will serve us for our discussions tomorrow. Where did the marker of
next to the color pencils you keep it there?
So, in India, they have this statement about ultimate reality that is called Sat Chit Ananda. And it is a version of the Trinity. So basically the way they understand it is that when the one reality, this one thing we're in here, when the absolute expression of it manifests, it becomes three things. The first three things. Sat, which means it exists. Chit, it has awareness. conscious.
What is ananda?
Bliss.
It's usually they use the word bliss for it, but see, love can be here too. It's the feeling, the aliveness of the one reality. Not the detached awareness of it, or not simply the knowledge that, you know, this one is sort of like the ultimate philosophical question. Why is there something rather than nothing? Well, there is clearly something, so it exists. So, but then there's consciousness, and then there's this thing called ananda. Scorpio and Taurus are in the ananda dimension. Nothing to do with consciousness. It already knows it exists. It doesn't have to even fight to exist. It exists. The idea is to feel what it is to be alive. So, ananda, this is why Scorpio is not about understanding. You know, you either feel it or you don't. That's the simplest way to say it. In fact, this expression, either you feel it or you don't, is really important, because when you talk to somebody with a bunch of Scorpio, if they feel nothing, there's nothing for you there. But there can actually be a problem with that, because you know you're supposed to feel something, so for some people, feeling drained is better than feeling nothing. So this can happen when Scorpio teams up with being givers. You know, so they find themselves feeling alive by feeling drained. Better than feeling nothing. You can relate to what I'm saying. That's better than nothing, but it's not what Scorpio is about. Okay. But feeling turned on, not drained.
But it takes chip to feel nothing.
It does. That's true. So a person is totally, and so like, but the reason I put this up is because some of the mystery schools are more sat, some of them are more chit, and some of them are more ananda. Different spokes on the wheel. And so Scorpio and Taurus are the ananda zone. Now, this thing about either you feel it or you don't. When you have heavy Saturn, which means a certain kind of judgment in your early life, or you know the domestication of the curtailment of our instincts and our aliveness that happens, we can sometimes run into a problem with Scorpio, where right at that subtlest level, when you're about to feel something, the mind can come in and cut that off before you even know you're feeling it.
Right.
Very interesting when that occurs. So you really have to question that. So if you feel nothing, check and see whether your mind disconnected you before you actually had a chance to feel it. Because the mind doesn't want you to be feeling that stuff. I mean, some of it might be inappropriate. Some of it might be against the rules. Huh? This is dangerous stuff. But boy, can you see, like in Tantra circles or in shamanic astrology, why we have so often Scorpio showing up? I mean, where else are you going to go to get these kind of trainings? You could go to places that are repressed, or you could be really bad. You know, I mean, so like in our regular culture, you know, we've got who's like Mars and Scorpio. You know, so if a woman has Mars and Scorpio, let's say when she's projecting Scorpio, who's she turned on by? Well, it's the first guy in high school with a motorcycle, you know, or it's the bad boys. Well, that's the judgment against that.
Perfect fighting.
Huh?
They are exciting.
Yeah.
Different.
I mean, basically, who do you suppose James Dean was, going back, dating myself there? But, you know, it's like that was that version. Emotional, passionate, dangerous. You don't know what he's going to do. It's not just that he's, I take what I want. He was also, he's likely to cry, too, you know? This is the thing. For male Scorpio, it's the only version of the masculine that combines a will, a certain actional strength, but also a connection to emotion and feeling. There's other types of alpha males that I know what I want, I'll take what I want, but they don't necessarily have a connection to emotion or feeling. So it's a connection to the feminine principle as well as the strength of masculinity. And then if a woman has Venus in Scorpio, well then, what is her journey? Do we have any Venus in Scorpios? I guess not. Enough Scorpio rising, so.
So what is her journey?
Well, that's basically the person who comes into the life who's learning how to run the greatest amount of life force. And she wants to be valued for that. I find it, see, now you notice that at this stage of our investigation, all of the ones I've talked about, Sagittarius, Gemini, Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius, it's fascinating how this has laid itself out. I didn't know how it was going to be at first, you know, so I make this up, you know, on the spot, what order I'm going to do them in. And none of those five for the feminine show up as the traditional expressions of the feminine. Vision Quest Amazon, Amazon Queen, the Goddess of Democracy, Sorceress Witch Tantrika, Venus and Scorpio. And Venus, and what was the one I missed? So who's that? That's Iris, but I actually forgot to give her other name. It's Hayoka Coyote Woman, Shapeshifter. Now, if a woman has any of those, does it make any sense for her to be valued for being the giver of nourishment to a man? To be the mother and the caregiver and the caretaker of a man? Not at all. This is one of the things that really blew my mind when I first started getting into this stuff, is that they kind of took the entire spectrum of the feminine and turned it into about three. And they even eliminated cortisol. You know, you have mother, you have wife, you have nurse. So we're going to get to the ones that are more traditional and the revisioning of those, because we haven't done any of the householder ones yet. We haven't done Pisces and Virgo. There's a bunch more to go, but it just so happens we've been looking at some of the very radically different ones. And if a woman is projecting Scorpio, well, then she can either choose to be with the wild man in the woods, or she can run that energy herself.
And that would be.
What do I mean by that? Yeah, so we didn't name the gods and goddesses. So the gods of Scorpio, Pan, the wild man in the woods, the horned god, the green man, the king stag, Perinos. These are all the different ways he's been known. That's not... So, one of the old stories is that women in matriarchal times, even married women, even the priestesses in the temple during certain festivals would go to the oak grove and call in Pan. They weren't looking for a husband. They were looking for wildness. The word panic comes from Pan. The word pandemonium comes from Pan. Originally, we can say panic was like, that's what they wanted. You know, like fully excited.
Pandora's box.
A pandemic?
Not that one, no. But my point is, it's not a husband archetype. It's actually the version of the masculine connected to the earth goddess, the goddess herself, but who loves to be running the energy with the goddess. Which he's not there to nurture her. He's there to assist her in having her maximum experience, but it's not service per se, because he's getting off on it himself.
It's Mars and Scorpio.
Yes.
For a male.
Yes.
But Mars and Scorpio for a female.
Is that you either go for that type and get fulfilled that way, or you own those energies yourself. And it's really that it doesn't work to project that on somebody who's not that. And if you have to be in a loving relationship with someone who's not that, and you're projecting it onto them, it's actually a violation. You know, so then it's a test to have you to take it on yourself. You've got to find the source of that within yourself. That's the sacred mirror. Where else do we have to go with Scorpio here?
Goddess.
Oh yes, the goddesses. Well, they're the underworld goddesses. Durga, Kali, Hecate. So Pele is sort of a merger between Aries and Scorpio. They're not rational. They live with the energy. There's not a rational factor there. That's more car. Well, you're going to tell the Mae West joke?
No.
You know.
Go ahead.
It's the New Age version of the Mae West joke. Is that a crystal in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me? It used to be, is that a crystal in your pocket? Anyway, any questions about Scorpio? It is ultimately, and that's why I put that song on, it's about surrender. Surrender to the energy. Surrender to the flow, to the feeling, to the thing that takes you out of your mind. You know, there's so many practitioners who will play a wild instrument or gypsy jazz or something, and basically their thing is, put the mind aside and just let the energy in. So a lot of times, one of the things that's most effective, if you have New Scorpio, Scorpio rising, or woman with Venus in Scorpio, Mars in Scorpio, is to have an instrument of some kind. I've told the story many times that if I had any musical talent, I never would have been an astrologer. Mm-hmm. I would be a lead guitar player or a tenor sax player. One of those two, So my instrument is doing this stuff. Which is improvising. I like to think of myself as a jazz performer. It's like never the same way once.
Do you think that you can trust a Scorpio woman to stay with you? They seem like they can shift on an eye so quickly.
There's a Scorpio type that is a parabonder, but Scorpio per se, no, you can't. They're commitments to the energy. So there's a version of Scorpio that the authentic version of Scorpio is to go with the energy. Now, that type of woman can only be with you if she does not notice something more energetically amazing. We would call that de facto monogamy. Meaning that if it's so powerful what you're experiencing with a certain person that you don't notice anything else, then you're with that person for as long as that's taking place.
But this woman over here, you care about her, aren't you?
Which they're both Scorpio rising.
I'm a Sag moon.
No, no, there's no black and white rule on that. In fact, if we take it outside of the realm of relationship, any Scorpio rising is here to learn to be open to the most compelling energy.
Because you have to be your best.
Yeah. If you're caught in a mind thing about it, then that's really not Scorpio rising. You haven't really come into it yet. Now, if you have some Libra, you know, then you're more likely to run the energy with one person. I mean, that's me, Mars and Scorpio with the horizon. I had phases in my life where I had plenty of experiences with lots of different women. I got really bored with it. I mean, it's just like that was old hat. It didn't make any difference to me at a certain point. You know, so I really wanted to have that life force with one person. But that's the Libra thing with Scorpio. Capricorn moon, there's so many different ways we could answer this question individually and, you know, collectively. The Scorpio per se is not a bonder. It can bond, but it's unlike Libra, which is the definition of a sustainable relationship for a long period of time. And a lot of Libras don't do it because it's the best lover. They like the idea of being with somebody for a long period of time. You know, it's kind of like the cultural version of it is, I got a husband on my resume. You know, you wake up in the morning and, yep, that's handled. I got a partner. Don't have to worry about that one. So that's a little different if you have Scorpio. Am I making any sense here? So that's about as far as we should take it.
Hey, Scorpio rules and